Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
It's good to have Father Michael Mariscalco with us. He was the pastor at St. Clair down the road. Now he's up in Wiggins, and he's visiting down here. He was conducting a retreat at the Kelly Retreat Center. So we welcome him to celebrate Holy Mass with us today. You know, Jesus performs a miracle in the gospel tonight, right? And this miracle, we have to remember that anytime our Lord performs a miracle, certainly that miracle is for that one person whom he's going to give his sight to, and for his family whom he's going to give sight and heal this member of that family and that community. But his miracles always have another layer or two to them. He's always fulfilling some prophecy about the coming Messiah, and he's also demonstrating his power over sin, blindness, sickness, and he's teaching us a lesson in this as well. The gospel tonight is relatively short, and it was packed with incredible details. St. Mark, recalling this event, in just a few brushes of the stroke, a few strokes of the brush, I should say, paints us an incredibly rich picture. And I'm going to just more or less go through the gospel line by line and let it speak to us a little more fully maybe than it would just reading through. Okay? And the reflections of scripture scholars and my own reflections on this gospel to share with you. So we begin. As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd. Okay, so there's a big crowd around Jesus, including his disciples. And they're following him, right? They're all followers of Jesus. They're all hanging on, right? Just keep that in mind. We'll come back to that crowd in a couple of minutes. Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus. Now, this detail about his blindness is going to be central, and we will see this contrast between blindness and sight and his desire to see, and even the crowd in just a moment. But what was his name? Bartimaeus. And then it says he was the son of Timaeus. Bar means son of. Okay, just like my last name is O'Connor. You know what O'Connor means? Son of Connor. Okay, you know what McDonald means? Son of Donald. Okay, you know what Johnson means? You got it, right? Son of John. Okay, all right. So Bartimaeus. And when they throw out that he's Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, this is linking Bartimaeus to all of humanity. He didn't just pop into existence, did he? No, he's there. He's the son of somebody and the son of somebody and the grandson and the great-grandson and right down the line, and he is blind. He is blind, and Bartimaeus represents really all of humanity in a sense. And he's sitting. He's stagnant. He's stuck. And where is he sitting? Where is he stagnant? Where is he stuck? He's stuck in Jericho. Now, Jericho, and you may have heard me comment on this before, Jericho is the lowest city in the world. It's away from God's dwelling place. It's about as far from God's dwelling place, which is high. Okay, now this is, again, poetic, but God's temple is in Jerusalem. And there's a story in the Bible, another story about a man that was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. This is the story of the Good Samaritan. Well, the man going from Jerusalem to Jericho gets beat up and left half dead on the side of the road. Well, Jericho is downhill. It's going nowhere. It's where death is. It's where blindness is. It's where stagnancy is. And what is Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus? What is his condition there? Blind and stuck in a sinful place. And there's another thing about his condition. He's a beggar. What does it mean when you're a beggar? It means you can't provide for yourself. He could not provide for himself. So there he is, stuck, blind, incapable of providing for himself on the side of the road. Throughout the gospel, we have a contrast between light and darkness. What are the opening words of the Bible? The opening words of the Bible include, God said, let there be what? Let there be light. And so God creates light. And Bartimaeus is not in the light. Bartimaeus is in the darkness, like so much of humanity. And I'm going to read you a passage from John's gospel. The Gospel of John says, speaking about Jesus, the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives in the truth comes to the light. And so we have the darkness, and God creates light, and then we have sin, and darkness re-enters the world, and then Jesus comes as the light of the world. And so that takes us through the first little bit of the gospel. So Jericho is not a holy place. It's a place of darkness. It's a place away from God, stuck, begging, and now continuing the gospel. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, Bartimaeus began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have pity on me. So Bartimaeus, he was living in expectation. And now he hears that Jesus has come. And Bartimaeus must have been at least a little bit familiar with the prophets in the Old Testament. And there was something in Bartimaeus that's anticipating. And so he knows at least two things about Jesus. One, that he's from Nazareth. And the other is that he's the son of David. Now, David, who's David? King David. King David, who lived 1,000 years earlier. And somehow Bartimaeus knows that Jesus is the great, 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 great grandson of David, in the line of David. So he knows a lot about him, really. And he's anticipating him, and he's expecting him. He hopes that he can save him from this dark place, stuck on the side of the road as a beggar. And so what does he do? Jesus, son of David, have pity on me. Now remember, there's a crowd around Jesus, right? Jesus' hanger-oners, Jesus' disciples, Jesus' followers. And do they help Bartimaeus? What's their first response? They rebuked him, told him to be quiet. They got in the way. Can you imagine such a thing? Those who are supposed to be following Jesus, those who are supposed to be closest to Jesus, actually getting in the way and becoming obstacles between Jesus and the very people that Jesus has come to save. That little passage strikes me in the heart. Lord God, may I never be an obstacle to your grace. May my parish and the schools here and my religion program, may we teach the fullness of the faith. May we nourish and encourage people. But it's very clear, again, we have to read between the lines and see the depth of this. And so there he is in his hopeful expectation. And he says, Jesus, son of David, have pity on me. That word that's translated pity is in Greek, eleison. It means mercy. It could be translated pity. It could be translated mercy. Mercy is a little richer translation, I think. And there's a beautiful prayer that we said at the beginning of Mass, Kyrie eleison. That's the Greek version. But we said the English version today, Lord have mercy, right? Lord have mercy. Christe eleison. Christ have mercy. It's the prayer of Bartimaeus. It's our prayer. It's the prayer of the church. And so we are, if you will, with Bartimaeus. So the crowd rebuked him. So what did Bartimaeus do? continuing the gospel, but he kept calling out, "All the more, Son of David, have mercy on me." And then it records Jesus stopped. And when Jesus stopped, the whole world stopped. All that crowd stopped. All the noise stopped. And there's Bartimaeus calling out for Jesus. And Jesus stops. And Jesus says to his followers, "Call him." Let me tell you something. You're all called. You know what I'm doing right up here right now before you? I'm calling you, okay? I am calling you to get up and follow Jesus. I am calling you to take seriously this reality that you and I must listen for the coming of Jesus. We must overcome the obstacles of the crowd getting in the way sometimes, and we must follow Jesus. So Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man. "Take courage, get up. Jesus is calling you." So the blind man, Bartimaeus, persists. And then it says again, so rich is this gospel. It says, he threw aside his cloak. Now, Bartimaeus didn't even know what that cloak looked like. He was blind, right? It's probably one of the only pieces of property that he had in the whole world. He probably clung greedily to that cloak. It was all he had. But now he hears the call of Jesus, and what does he do with that cloak? He casts it aside. That cloak is a symbol of Bartimaeus' old life. It's the symbol of his blindness. It's a symbol of what was held him down, in a sense. And so he cast aside the cloak, and it says he sprung up, this lightness now. And he springs up, and he stands in front of Jesus, and Jesus asks him a question. Now, you're standing in front of Jesus. And Jesus asks you a question. So Jesus looks in your eye. He says to you, "What do you want me to do for you?" Fix my children? Fix my husband? Fix my wife? No, that's the wrong question. What do you want me to do for you? At least Bartimaeus knew his problem, didn't he? At least he knew what Jesus needed to fix in him. So Jesus, he says to Jesus, "I want to see." There's physical sight and there's spiritual sight. "Lord, I want to see." The simplicity of this prayer betrays the difficulty of this prayer. This is a true story. True story. Someone I know very, very well. They, all their life, they had a difficult time seeing distances, right? They couldn't see very well, so they had to wear glasses for distance vision. But as they got older, what happens as you get older? What goes away as you get older? Your near vision, right? As she got older, she couldn't see up close, so she had to go get new glasses, right? And she got her new glasses. She put them on. She looks in the mirror, and she didn't like what she saw. There were a lot of new blemishes and bumps, and there was a big blackhead on her forehead that she had never seen before, you know? And really and truly, this is the God's honest truth. She says, "I don't like these glasses, you know? I want to be blind again." I am not making this story up, okay? So when we say, "I want to see," see, Jesus is the light of the world. Some people prefer darkness. They prefer darkness for a variety of reasons. So we have to pray, "Lord, I want to see. I want to see." Now, certainly there are flaws and failings that will come to light when we see. But there's something else that we should know that we can see. Just not long ago at all, I was here in confessions. Not long ago, I had a young lady who was struggling with the vision of herself. She did not see her beauty. She did not see that she was made in the image and likeness of God. She did not see her value. And oh, I prayed with her. I wanted her to see. I wanted her to have the capacity. I wanted her eyes to be open. I wanted the grace of God to show her who she was, who she was made to be, the potential that she had, that God was calling her, that she had this incredible gift of life. Are you just grateful for life? I mean, really and truly, just absolutely so thankful for God that He made you to share in His existence. Do you see that? See, that's part of being able to see too. So the blind Bartimaeus, and Jesus looks him in the face and says to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And again, the simplicity of this prayer betrays how difficult it is. Psychologists tell us about coping mechanisms and denial and rationalization and dishonesty with oneself and living in a kind of fantasy world. But Bartimaeus says, "I want to see. I want to see." And so we pray tonight, I pray I can see. I can see my blackheads, and I can see my problems, and I can see what needs to be fixed. But I can also see what God made me to be. And I can give thanks to God for the gift of my life. So let's all pray tonight, "Lord, I want to see. I want the fullness of the true vision. I want the light in the world." So Jesus says, my last word tonight, "I am the light of the world. Whoever comes to me will not walk in darkness."